Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Big episode. Mm. Big boy.
We had a big boy.
We had a big boy on.
Big boy on.
A big boy episode.
Old Ricky. Ricky Osman.
Old Ricky Hatton. We had a Ricky Hatton. Oh.
You got nailed. You got torn a new one.
Yeah, but it was all love. It was all love.
It came from a place of love, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. He came on the podcast. We had Richard Osman. Ooh. As you can see, do you know what I've worked out? I don't know why we say who we've got on the podcast like it said. They've seen the title. They can see him. They've looked at the episode. Who's listening to this? And they see it says Richard Osman.
They might not have seen it. It might have just come on automatically.
So that's true.
So we have
Richard Osman on. You may know Richard Osman from, Alex, why don't you tell them?
Many, many TV shows, one of which is Pointless.
Pointless, House of Games.
House of Games, which you've just done.
House of Games was one of the funniest things I've ever done. It was on BBC Two, hence why we managed to get him on. He's also written books, which we speak about. And if you're a fan of his books, this is actually a pretty cool in-depth conversation into it. He sold 2.5 million books of Thursday Murder Club. Mm. And over 500,000 copies of The Man Who Died Twice. And that's only been, it's only been out like 6 months, The Man Who Died Twice. And the other one's been out a year and a half.
Mm.
Isn't that insane?
He's slowly heading towards breaking your record for book sales. Jamie,
that's true.
Jamie, as he does, handed him a book.
Mm-hmm.
In the podcast, handed
yeah,
his own book.
True, yeah.
Bit of shameless self-promo.
It was a present. It was a present.
A present, what?
I didn't expect Osman to then attack it. You know, I do you know what? I'm putting it down to jealousy. He's jealous.
It was one of my favourite podcasts.
Is it one of your favourite?
It was great. He's just literally laying into you.
Yeah, he's a legend, and I'm going to say a friend of mine. He's 100%.
You wouldn't have thought it from...
You wouldn't have put us two together. To the point where I reckon, Richard, I may be listening to this. I reckon you're going to invite me over to dinner at some point.
I don't reckon he's listening.
Yeah, he will. He will be listening to this.
No.
Guess he will.
He's got way more important things to do.
Of course he's going to... I'm going to listen to that podcast. I had great fun on it.
Probably doing intellectual things.
No, he's... No, he won't. He'll be listening to this.
Wiping his ass with your book.
Richard, thank you so much for coming to the podcast. This was honestly one of my favourite episodes. If you watched me on House of Games, you saw the relationship that we had, and it just continues on this episode. It's going to be an absolute whopper of one. Also, Private Partners, we have launched our Patreon. And our Patreon is, it costs literally the cost of a pint per month. Cost of a pint per month. You can sign up, you get loads of bonus episodes, some merch, some birthday messages, some messages from us, some unique things, voicemail, which is our mental health podcast, so many extra bits. Go and check it out. It's the link tree in our bios on our Instagram page at Private Podcast, and join up to our Patreon account, and we're going to give you so much more extra content that you're going to like. I mean, it's crazy, the extra content. Come join the community. You have a special episode which is going to be loaded up there on the Monday. It's called Intellectual Stimulation.
It's great that you can pronounce intellectual.
It's for tier two, so you can sign up for the tier two, and we're getting people on who are going to really stimulate us. Our minds. Maybe it's detectives. Maybe it's wizards. Maybe it's doctors. Maybe it's psychologists. Maybe it's psychotherapists. Who knows what it could be? It could be anyone!
Exciting.
Yeah, go and check it out. Patreon. Go to the link tree and sign up. All right, everybody. Here's the episode with Mr. Richard Rookie. Rich. Big Dick Osman. There he is on the podcast. Enjoy.
That's a weak clap.
It wasn't a weak clap.
That was terrible, actually.
Yeah, that wasn't a weak clap.
I've seen better.
Okay, yeah, because when you clap, it's like an earthquake.
Jesus.
It is.
The window's just shattered.
That is what... That is... you. Because, you know, Rich, you just walk in here and we shook hands. Mm. You do have large hands.
For sure, yeah.
It would be weird if you had small hands.
Can you imagine, like little tiny hands?
That would be so good.
Like 6'7" with tiny wee little hands.
It'd really confuse
me. Like the hands of a child.
That would be an upsetting thing if, your hands just never grew.
Oh, no, they're great. I'm very happy with them.
Because did you know that I found this out there? Your hands and your ears and your nose are the things that grow for the rest of your life.
They keep growing, like your ears keep growing.
But why is that?
Also your ego. Yours is.
No, yours is. I tell you what keeps growing on me. Empathy. My empathy keeps growing.
Oh, that's a nice journey to
your
go
empathy
on in life.
For mass murderers. That's literally about it.
But well, listen, empathy, just you have to have empathy for everybody. Empathy is it's not a one-way street. Mm-hmm. You know, the French say to understand all is to forgive all. What they say. Yeah, and that's empathy for you.
Okay,
they say it in French though.
Yeah,
which is.
Sit back. Have we started?
Yeah, this is it.
Okay.
Welcome to Nonsense Land.
Thank you.
But I tell you what I like is that you didn't even know we started. That's how casual and nice this podcast is.
Ah, that's good. Yeah, exactly. No, I feel very at home because I feel the empathetic vibes coming off both of you. I haven't even killed anyone.
Emphasis on pathetic. You know?
Yeah. You put the pathetic into empathetic. I apologize.
Okay, but let's get deeper into it.
Yes.
Is any deed not selfish? Any good deed, not selfish?
Yes.
Okay, explain.
Yeah. A deed that you do for absolutely no gain and no one will ever find out about, and, you know, it's literally just done because you feel for the person and what they're going through, and you can help them and alleviate it, and you need nothing in return at all. You don't need to give them sweets. And you know they're never going to mention it to anyone. There's loads of selfless deeds.
Apparently that is our more innate state of being as humans. It's been conditioned out of us to be like selfish and competitive, but actually babies are quite empathetic, and they did like some tests, and they want to help from a young age, but it gets kind of bullied out of us, and we end up like Jamie, and we
But the fact you're asking that question, mm-hmm. you must have done deeds in your life that no one's ever going to find out about, which were kindnesses done to people.
The only deeds that Jamie has are on properties, that's fair.
I've done deeds that no one's known about.
Go on then.
Yeah, finally,
I get to talk about them.
They're crimes, and they're still not. The court cases aren't finished yet, so you can't really talk about them.
You know what? I don't want to say
no, but of course, but you do, right? You understand that there are actions you can take that are truly empathetic.
But it makes you feel good. So surely then there is a sort of.
Does it make you feel good? I think it makes you feel happy that you've been able to help. I don't think it gives you a buzz. I don't think it gives you dopamine.
I think it does give you dopamine.
Interesting.
You don't think it
does? It's a really good question. It's a very deep question. But, you know, kindness is obviously very good for you. Mm-hmm. And kindness does increase your happiness, that's for sure. So, yeah, to be kind could be a selfish act. But I suspect if you're cynically kind, it probably doesn't increase your happiness. I think kindness, which comes from a good place, probably increases your happiness. So does your kindness make you happy?
Yeah, being kind makes me happy. But you can't be cynically kind.
I think some people can be.
So you're kind and annoyed that you're being kind about it.
No, but you see people on Twitter all the time who are talking about something amazing they've just done, or, you know, talking about something, and you just think, I think that comes from a place where you thought, oh, this is going to sound good when I tell people about it. We know people like
it's
that.
It's too pre-planned.
We
know people
like that. I'm not accusing you of that, Jamie, by the way, if we get serious, but we all know people.
Jamie doesn't use Twitter.
I do. I do this week.
Yeah, House of Games Week.
House of Games Week.
Oh yeah, talk to me about
Twitter. Twitter loves it. It's one of the few things Twitter actually likes. House of Games.
So House of Games is Rich's show. He hosts, and you created it.
Sort of, yeah.
Sort of.
In a big team.
In a big team. Yeah. Anyway, we'll give you the credit.
See, look, classic empath. He's looking out for his looking out for the rest of his team. I mean, you would have gone, yeah, it's all mine actually.
Okay, ask me about Candy Kittens quickly. Ask me.
No, I don't. It's a team effort. We've spoken about it so many times on the podcast. You came up with some bullshit PR story. Like,
what was the?
Oh, when I was a kid, that is true. My brother.
I swear to God, that's true. Bullshit.
It's like going on the X Factor. You came up with a sob story, so people buy more sweets.
I was scared of the dark. Anyway, so House of Games. It's the funnest show I think I've ever done.
It's a laugh, isn't it?
It is incredible.
What goes down?
Well, Richard, you can explain it better than I can.
Oh, it's you have four celebrity players, and they're on all week, so it's a real sort of soap opera. But it's just a series of very silly quiz rounds, just the sort of things that wouldn't last for a whole show, but, you know, a bit of general knowledge, a bit of kind of wordplay, silly things like that. And this gets very competitive. The prizes are all ridiculous. They're like fondue sets and, you know, umbrellas and driving gloves and stuff like that, all branded with my face on them.
When you said they're ridiculous, I thought you meant like they're ridiculously good, and you said fondue set, and I tried to do a convincing, new car, a fondue set.
No, they're all deliberately terrible. And you just sit there. We film up in Glasgow, and you spend a whole day doing it, and there's no audience. And so it's like doing a podcast. You just sit around and have a laugh.
Jamie,
and you had a really
Jamie
good week.
Hated that.
He was so charming
it's
on it.
The best thing I've ever done.
He's annoyingly charming.
He is, isn't he?
As soon as he leaves, though, he punches a kitten in the
face. Punches a kitten. I'm exactly the same. Do you know what? I don't change from here to when I'm at home to wherever.
Oh my God, that must be so tiring.
It's not tiring because it's my natural state, so it's not tiring.
Well, I suppose so. Yeah,
it's not tiring. But so
but you might reach like 60, and you start finally go, oh my God, that's been hard work. Wow, so I just need to sleep.
There's an amazing podcast which is called Finding Richard Simmons. It's a great podcast, and it's about Richard Simmons, who I don't know if you remember, he was the 80s, 90s kind of gymnast, kind of gym guy on TV. Mm. He basically had that. What turns out is that he was basically so hyper and all those kind of things, and then one day he just disappeared because he couldn't be bothered to do it anymore.
But I get it. You know, I get it after, you know, when I do TV shows or things like this, you know, you have to turn on the extrovert part of your brain a little bit, and I'm not a natural extrovert. Mm. And so I love to do it, and I love chatting and all that kind of stuff, but you need, at the end of it, just go, oh, can I be an introvert for a couple of hours?
I'm the same. Yeah. I struggle with that. It's really hard.
But presumably you don't have that switch. You're quite happy just to...
Jamie's just extra the whole time.
Well, I quite like company. I like being... I feel... Well, no, actually, I don't. But when you... I find when... My life is very... I would say that my sort of thing is talking. I talk.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed.
No shit, Jamie. Yeah.
Yeah, don't even noticed.
Wow, the trailer for this began and exclusive from Jamie Lang.
Yeah, here we go. It's about talking. And for me, so I do, I get from talking, because if you talk to, it's the whole time that you're talking. But it doesn't mean that it fills me with joy and excitement and all those kind of things. So actually,
and only you.
No, it does.
How are you in a room by yourself for three
terrible.
Hours?
He has to phone me quite a lot of the time.
Phone you quite a lot.
I know that you're either walking to somewhere from somewhere.
Richard, if I had your number, I'd phone you. I'm not...
Really?
I would give it up.
Do you know what? I don't have a phone.
No way.
Yeah, I don't have a phone. No, just because I don't want to.
I would thought that was some.
I'll text you after.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do.
Still on for tonight.
I like the sort of tribal aspect. I think that's going to a boarding school from 8 years old.
Was
always
be, right?
in a dormitory, always with people, always surrounded by people. So I'm used to being with people the whole time.
How do you cope? Because we have to be by ourselves. I love a little bit of time by myself. That's one of my favourite things in the world. But you have your
family and things like that. So that's more difficult, I suppose. So you have work and then you come home and have family. I have work and then I come home. My girlfriend's there, but sometimes she's not. So then you get alone time.
Yes.
So I get alone time.
Yes. But do you like alone? Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, but you your family's
no,
there.
My kids are in their 20s. They're not at home. So it's just me and my partner. And if she's out, then it's just me.
And I like those bits.
Oh, good. That's all I'm asking. You don't get lonely.
I really want to. I want to set up a camera actually and see what you're like.
Oh my God, that's a great show.
I think
put a little GoPro on Jamie's forehead. it's like people try and do for their cats, right? They go, I just want to know what my cat does all day. I can't imagine what they're like when they're by themselves. Yeah, a GoPro on Jamie.
I think we'd honestly be the most bizarre watcher you've ever seen. I think it'd be so funny.
What would if we had a GoPro? If you were going home this evening, you're by yourself for 4 hours, and we had a GoPro on you. Mm. What would the footage show?
Just me masturbating.
staring directly into the mirror. It's a very shaky camera.
Just every now and again feeding yourself a candy kitten.
Going, you bloody empath. Oh, God.
Instagram it, please.
I really feel for you looking at yourself.
Wow.
I don't. Yeah, but I.
Okay, let's not do that then.
But I do. I think alone time is great. Also, the biggest thing is you have to be happy in your own company.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I think I've learned to be that way. I think. Look, all of us. I grew up, we all have insecurities, and I grew up with a lot of insecurities. And then I had to become accustomed to myself. It's that cheesy thing, you have to start loving yourself. And I think you only really start doing that towards your late 20s, early 30s.
For sure.
Then you start to kind of understand a bit more.
Well, because you're constantly, your 20s, you're desperately trying to be someone different. You're just not fitting in, essentially, but you're finding your way in the world. And there does come a point where you think, oh, no one cares.
You're trying to find your identity, and then suddenly you go, I actually don't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah. Right? But it's true, because you realise the only thing you're ever looking for is happiness.
Yeah,
that's all you're ever going to search for. And early 30s when you start thinking, perhaps just if I do the thing that I want to do and not really worry about what I'm looking like or where I should be or who I should be with, and you think, oh, I quite like just staying in and watching MasterChef.
And that's why Jamie tosses off old people.
but that is so true. For me, what was quite difficult is that. Let's see, we get deep on this podcast.
Another
sob story.
It's not a sob story.
Yeah.
Buckle in.
So I was sitting there, I was eating some candy kittens. We got new sour watermelon flavour. And
honestly, I've overcome so much to be honest, I don't know if I can really talk about this.
Of all the boys who went to my boarding school, I think I've overcome the most, I think.
But I got to a point where I suddenly went, wait, hang on a sec. I thought, firstly, all the answers were going to be given to you. I thought our parents had answers, teachers had answers.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get to a certain age and you realise, firstly, most people are guessing. We're all kind of like treading water in some sort of way. And also, you suddenly realise that all of the things that you were caring about actually were not, and no one was thinking about you anyway. And for me, that was suddenly like a big realisation. I don't know if you had that earlier.
Yeah, it's true. Nobody gives a toss about you.
No one.
And that's a much easier way to live. Remember, you know, once you get over the site kind of ego thing of that, I think, oh, and they think, well, of course they don't give a toss. And they're not going to meet you again and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, the people you love will stick around and the people you don't love won't stick around. And that's how it should be. And it's, to get through your 20s and 30s, you know, you need a rocket fuel, whatever it is. And usually it comes somewhere from...
What was your rocket fuel?
Well, usually it comes from an insecurity, you know, an ambition, a wanting to prove people wrong, wanting to achieve something that, you know, other people in your family hadn't done, whatever it is. But at some point that rocket fuel burns out. So, you know, and you just start orbiting the globe. And you know,
you had to keep to a space analogy, didn't you? Yeah.
Well, do you know what the space analogy
gets
worse?
Is not the limit.
Okay, the space gets worse. Here we go.
But because of course you got that rocket fuel, you get up in orbit, and then hopefully you've done enough work on yourself that you can enjoy the view. You know, you can look out the window, you can enjoy what you're seeing, you can enjoy being in orbit.
For Jamie.
But then, of course, at some point, you know, because I'm a lot older than you guys, I'm in my 50s now. At some point, you know, you're going to start going back down to Earth, right? That spaceship is going to go back down as well. So, you know, do as much work as you can to get into orbit as quick as possible. Yeah, well, cool. Well, that, James, when you die.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm sorry to break that to you.
Okay, but then I got...
Jamie's not going to die.
But we all...
No, I doubt that.
I'm not... Annoying.
I shouldn't have thought so.
Yeah.
If you don't die on Instagram, you don't die.
Yeah. My sweets are going to live on. Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But I am... mortality for me was a big thing as well, because suddenly you get to a point in your life where you realise we do die.
Did you say it was a big thing? Now
no,
that
it is.
Now that you're immortal.
No, but you do. Rich, you must have that point in your life where you sort of, wait, we all die at some point.
Jamie, this is a genuine fact, right? You get to 50 and it gets worse. Because, yeah, you do. You don't realise at all that you're going to die.
Yes.
And then you do realise at some point that you are going to die. And you work out it's finite and you work out there's no reason for you to be here. And then you get to another age, so, you know, 50, where... you don't just know it's going to happen. You go, oh, you don't just understand hypothetically that it is going to happen. You kind of really face the reality of it. You think, oh, fuck, I'm actually going to die.
God.
I'm actually going to die. And listen, I'm 50, so I'm assuming at 60 and 70 you get even further and deeper revelations. But I'm hoping that one of those revelations, like maybe at 70 or 80, takes you into a place where you go, and I'm comfortable with it. And I'm absolutely,
I love it that you're hoping as well. You're just hoping.
Well, let's hope so. Or, you know, but that's the point, because it's getting, it gets, it's getting worse and worse. But when you talk to most older people, are pretty chilled. And so I think they must reach a point where they go, I get it. I get mortality. Also, it's going to happen. It's going to happen fairly soon. And, you know, am I happy? Am I loved? Have I been loved? Have I done good things? And if you can count all those things off, then probably you can come to peace with it, right?
You're probably just starting to welcome it because you're probably knackered by then.
I don't think you do well. No, I don't think you welcome it. I don't think you.
But that's 50. 50 is the first year I've ever cared about my age. I don't care about ageism. 40 is my best decade. At 50, you can't start convincing yourself that, you know, you're even halfway. You're really quite a long way over halfway at 50. I mean, you're really.
I'm still young, aren't I?
But like, if I make it to 80, then, you know, that's. I think back to when I was 20, and it feels really recently. And so 20 to 50 is 30 years. So if I got another 30 years, you just think, well, that isn't anything. I'm only 30 years. I mean, that's like from when I was 20, which is really recent.
Time goes so much quicker as you age. Like, it's all perspective, isn't it? When you're five, it's all so new. When you get to like 30, you're like,
you're experiencing new things, right? First kiss, first holding a hand, first playing with a toy. So everything's new, but then it becomes repetitive as we get older.
But in my early 90s, which is 30 years ago, to me still seems like
90s.
In my early 90s. In the early 90s, which to me it feels like yesterday. It feels like very modern. You know, it's like Oasis v Blur. You think, well, is that the amount of time I've got left?
That's a weird.
Yeah.
And then I saw someone say to me that, especially with family and things like that, you know, say you have 30 years to live and you see your family once a year, that's, you're only going to see your family 30 times. Mm.
Well, I think about it in terms of World Cups. You know, how many football World Cups have I got left? Not many, like maybe 6. You know?
What, that you're going to play in?
Exactly. I'm still eligible for, to be picked. But, you know, so I'm almost certainly
upsetting. I could just imagine you, your time, you're alone at this point, because you obviously would be alone. I'm not looking to the future. Yeah. This is just currently.
I think you're going to end up alone, Richard, is what I'm saying. That's what I see in my empathetic ball. Yeah. Listen, I see you stand alone. You're curled up in a ball, you're rocking back and forth in the corner of a room, you're weeping. I don't know, you seem happy.
Do you go up to people and old people say, go, this is probably your last World Cup? Just whisper it in their ear and then walk out, do a big clap and then leave.
England are better win, right? Because, you know.
Yeah.
But really, if we, you know, I'm probably not going to see England win the World Cup statistically. If I've got 6 left, right? You know, if you've got 2 of those are German, you know, maybe give 1 to Brazil, 1 to Italy. Yeah. I mean, it's statistically unlikely I'm ever going to see it happen.
But I just imagine when you're at home and you're thinking about it and you suddenly think, God, I only have 6 World Cups left, and that really hit you. That was the moment when
that's when you want a camera, hidden camera.
Oh my God.
Oh, he's got to the World Cup moment.
Starts doing kick-ups. better get the practice in, because...
But it's unless of course, you know, we follow the Arsene Wenger rule and we have World Cups every 2 years. So listen, maybe if we do that, then I'm doubling my chances of doubling my World Cups.
But also age is such an interesting thing, because stereotypically, right, we have this idea that we're meant to do everything when we're young. And then when we're old, we don't. Mm. But actually, that's just not the case now. Yeah. You know, for example, with your books, for example, you wrote your first fictional book, 2020.
Yeah, so I was 49.
It was about cricket, was it?
Yeah, I had 20, yeah. I hadn't presented a TV show until I was 40. That was entirely unexpected. And I'd always wanted to write. And I suspect if I'd written books in my 20s, they wouldn't have been very good. And so to be able to write a book at 49, which I loved and I'm very proud of, it's called Thursday Murder Club. And
Thursday Murder Club.
The Man Who Died Twice is the follow-up. I suspect that might be why it's so successful. Because I wrote it from a position of, you know, liking myself and knowing a bit more about the world and, you know, understanding a little bit about how things work, which I think is why people respond to it. And if you do that in your 20s, you know, no one likes someone successful in their 20s.
Jamie just released a book.
I was going to do the second half, but we're going to do it now. So I've got your present.
Another one?
Present.
There you go.
You say present.
Yeah. Holy Grail.
Jamie Lang, I can explain. Yeah. See, this is everyone... you get to a certain stage, a certain renown, mm-hmm. and people say, can you do a book? And everyone who has some respect will say, oh, I can't do an autobiography.
I said that. I'm too young.
But then they'll say, oh, why don't you do a thing like Funny Musings? Just little stories about your life, or lessons
you can learn.
That's exactly what
happened.
Lessons you can learn. And everyone's got one out this year. Rob Beckett and Josh Widdicombe, they've all got them out.
Yep.
I get it. You know, you'll have got, I don't know what advance you'll have got, 100 grand or something, that you're never, ever, ever going to make back. I mean, literally,
Richard, you're speaking my language.
You are never seeing another penny out of that. Maybe next year they'll say, oh, yeah, you'll be saying, maybe I could do a follow up. And they're like, maybe. Or is there something else you want? Maybe do an autobiography.
Can you wait until you've realised death is upon you and then write a book?
But it's all cash and stuff. It's all, you know, Clarkson did such a good one, you know, 10, 15 years ago that made such a lot of money for everybody. And now anyone who's got any kind of, you know, if they've seen your TV like twice, they'll go, oh, why don't you just do a book? Like do a chapter that's Rules for Life. Do a chapter of, you know, things I learned. Do a chapter about how to get through your school days.
How to be an empath.
Yeah. Do the rules of reality TV. Why don't you do like a thing about like the vocab of what you'd say in Made in Chelsea?
First rule, there are no rules.
Yeah.
Truth be told, with the book, I didn't want to.
I didn't write it.
I didn't want this life.
Truth be told, I haven't looked at it. I'm gonna read some stuff.
You can't. Don't read.
Richard, please read some excerpts.
Of course.
Okay. Here we go.
Chapter 8. Bad guy.
Fuck off.
Right. Listen. He writes very conversationally. That's good. Yeah, or whoever he.
You
was
say
speak,
he. Yeah,
whoever
yeah,
he
yeah.
was speaking
it
to.
It was a she. Yeah. And
right. Okay. First of all, before we get into it, I need to make you understand that I'm not a bad guy.
Fuck. You're literally David Brent. I'm sorry.
I don't feel like one. I'm a good person. I'm kind and always polite. I have lovely friends. And people who work with me always say it was fun and that I'm pretty easy to get along with.
This isn't real, Jamie. This is not real.
This is so hard.
This is not real.
It's the way he's reading it in that voice. If he doesn't read it in that voice.
No, this is my voice.
Read it more empathetically.
Voice. Okay. I know all this is true. And yet, well, sometimes you get an idea in your head about what people think about you, and you look at some of your past behaviour and you wonder, hang on, maybe I'm not a nice person after all. Maybe I've been wrong all these years and I'm secretly evil. Self-doubt thrives on making you feel bad about yourself. I mean, listen, I'm in absolute floods.
That is a page turner. That is
and
a.
If I in the front cover is
yeah.
you,
yeah.
you are tied to a chair like yeah. with gaffer tape, as That's if it. Like you're so fucking crazy. You need to be contained. Honestly, my opinions, they are so mad. I am going to... Whoa. Buckle up, everybody.
It's so true.
Buckle up.
It was actually the only way they got him to do the book.
I mean, that is...
You couldn't be more... I mean, it's not... I've never had anything more spot on in my entire life. Don't hand it back to me. It's yours.
Lessons learned on my journey from Chelsea to the ballroom and beyond.
Yeah,
and beyond. What do you mean beyond?
Yeah, beyond. Beyond. Yeah,
beyond. Ballroom. Okay, how long was this photo shoot you did? Was that like a whole morning or something?
Yeah, it was.
And photo shoots, they always do like normal, sensible ones. They go just at the end. They go, oh, just do a silly one where you put a silly face. It's not. We won't use it.
And they always use.
And that's
it.
Always the one that they use.
Just do a silly one. So we're going to gaffer tape you to a chair.
Well, listen.
Right. So did they pitch the idea of gaffer taping you to a chair? Tell me their pitch.
Well, I suggested. Well, there's a point in the story where I talk about being tied to a chair, and they thought this would be funny for a front cover. And I went, "Okay, you're the expert."
Is it a funny story about being tied to a chair?
When you read it,
a grim one?
It's a great one. It's a really funny one. I reckon you're going to get the end of that book, and you're going to go, "That was fantastic."
I love the idea. You think I'm going to get to the end of that book?
You are.
I think it might actually be really successful. It's going to be like Alan Partridge's.
Has it got an index?
It will have an index.
No, so. It doesn't have an index.
Okay, it doesn't have an
no
index.
No one's ever got that far.
This is about the author.
Okay. I was going to send you an email message saying, can I get a quote from you for the back of the book? And then I thought, I just don't think I can do it. I can actually do it.
Jamie Lang is one of the most recognisable faces on British TV. Yeah, you're fucking Attenborough, yeah. Jesus. Wow,
man.
That's amazing.
This is great.
As star of BAFTA-winning series Made in Chelsea. Well, First appearing in 2011 during the second series, James grew in entertainment that's gone strength to strength, seeing him star on Celebrity Hunted, The Great Celebrity Bake Off for Stand Up to Cancer, and Famous and Frightened Crime.
You've missed pointless celebrities.
As well as hosting the Private Parts podcast with Made in Chelsea co-star Francis Ball, and Six Degrees from Jamie and Spencer with Spencer Matthews. In 2020, Jamie went mainstream, make it into the final of Strictly Come Dancing. When he's not on our screens, which is rare, Jamie's busy in the confectionery business as the founder of leading British sweet brand Candy Kittens. Wow, if you, just so you know, if you die tomorrow, that's it.
I was going to say, that's all you got. The eulogy's done. Yeah.
That is all you got. Nothing there about, you know. Is there anything else you'd like to achieve? Have you done enough being on Famous and Fighting Crime? Can I say something about Famous and Fighting Crime?
Yeah, you can.
You were so good on that.
It was great, wasn't it?
There was a brilliant bit where they're trying to get someone in the back of a van.
Oh,
and
he's
a really
God.
Violent guy. And he goes, so good. I know you. You're from Made in Chelsea. And you went, do you know what? I am. And if you calm down.
Yes.
It was really good.
And it was just really good.
Okay, I will. I'll calm
if you
down.
Calm down, I'll teach you a couple of tactics on how to be
there
good
was,
on reality
there was this guy, and he suddenly went, oh, you biscuit boy. And he basically
beat biscuit boy.
He started shouting.
You hadn't heard that since school.
and I was standing out there.
Biscuit champion.
Yeah. I always lose. But I'm the real winner. For all those who don't know, there's a great game at Radley called Soggy Biscuit.
That's what we're alluding to. Anyway, yeah,
thanks for clearing that.
That's
sorry,
Jamie.
Sorry, it's a podcast and not so visual sometimes. Anyway, the point
no one's wanked onto a biscuit in the podcast.
The point is that so this guy, in Famous Finding Crime, where I was a special in the police force, only 25,000 volunteers. We wanted to understand what the volunteers do, and this guy suddenly recognised me, and I had to calm him down, and it was fantastic.
It was really good.
It was great.
I've just literally looked at the first bit here.
Yeah, can I read that?
So on the cover, Jamie Lang. Mm-hmm. Jamie Lang, I can explain. Uh-huh. Well, most of it anyway.
That's not smug.
I won't be able to explain all of it. Especially if I'm not tied to this chair. Let me out. Let me at him. I've got so much to say. That's lovely. Yeah, so look,
seriously enjoying this.
The face is, if I'm seeing this in Smith's Waterstones, the face is big, and the name Jamie Lang,
there we go,
title, all that kind of stuff. I turn to page, let's say 3. I can explain. Lessons learned, the same.
Yeah.
Repeats the title.
Yeah.
Jamie Lang with Justin Myers.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So he's, who I happen to know, is a very, very talented journalist, very
and
good
you,
writer.
And you retweeted him today. I saw that.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a very talented man.
Yeah,
it's interesting, his name is not on the cover of the book he wrote.
Listen,
what's that about, it's contractually?
It's called a co-writing situation. Yes, a situation. We sat together and I started writing.
Sure.
Yeah, listen.
You started writing?
I started writing.
How do you mean you started writing? What did you do?
When you put pen to paper.
You wrote, so you had a pen and some paper and you did some writing.
Yeah, that's the way I like to do it.
Did you, definitely?
That's the way I like to do it.
What, like it's the 1940s?
It was actually a quill.
Okay, I put fingers on typewriter.
Yeah.
Fingers on my keyboard.
Yeah.
And I started writing.
Wrote a load of nonsense.
And it came out.
Justin Myers having to go, oh my God.
And it came out of me like a waterfall. And I went, oh. And
I went, I've had evenings like that. Go on.
Never before has he put something in the recycle bin so quickly. Just went, start again.
No, I didn't. And I went, this is just, I'm going to have to get structure around this. Who am I going to help? Justin Myers, that's just going to help.
All right. So listen. You got 100K or whatever it is for your part of it. He would have got like 20, maybe, if that. Why is there not a picture of Justin Myers all tied up on here?
I said, Justin, do you want to be on the front? He said, no, I don't mind where I am.
He's going to ruin his career.
Do you want to be on the front? No.
Okay. Richard, did you have any help with your book?
No.
Well, that's foolish of you. Because
I hardly sold any. Yeah, it's been. You know what? It's been a notorious disaster, Ryan.
You know his book.
Jamie just wanted to share some of the wealth with another writer.
I wanted to share. So you know, Richard's first book, Thursday Murder Club, has sold over 2.5 million copies.
Yeah,
and
in the UK.
And the man who died.
What are you doing on this podcast? I'm loaded.
And the man who died twice has done over 500,000 in the UK
in 8 weeks. Yeah.
Okay, bragger. Okay,
I'm just saying.
Empathetic.
And I wrote. Okay. It has. Yeah.
But isn't that, going back to the original point, right, is, and we'll get to the end of part one in a second, but it's just too good.
We're still on part one.
Yeah. Oh, we've gone for like 40 minutes.
Part two, hold on, I'm just going to look through the chapter headings.
Can you leave us on a cliffhanger? We'll come back in.
We'll come back in. Leave us on a cliffhanger, we'll come
and
back
then
into part two.
We've got Child Star, Boy Wonder, these are the chapter headings.
Yeah.
Rebel, yeah. Adventurer, Buddy Movie, yeah. Rising Star.
Yeah.
Okay. How many stars? There's Charles.
Superhero, Bad Guy, Romantic Hero, Entrepreneur. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. Horror Movie, yeah. Clown, Disaster Movie, Action Man, Loser, Entertainer, and Leading Man. There I think go. We'll read a bit of Leading Man afterwards, don't you think?
It's right. Literally like someone's going, what attributes do you need to have to fill a book? Like, yeah. Yeah.
How many words is this?
Oh, it's a lot.
I said about 80,000, do you think?
Yeah, probably.
It feels like 800.
Which means probably. What, you must have looked at the word count.
Well, yeah, non-stop. I did. I looked at the word count, went through it a lot, and yeah, about it, around that. Around how many words is yours to the word?
It's about 92.
About?
Like that.
Or do you, about. That's slacking. About 92.
92,417.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
I don't know. Right. It's about that. All right. God, I cannot wait to read the rest
of this. Listen, we're going to come back for part two.
Oh, acknowledgements?
No, save it, Richard.
Okay.
Save it. I'm going to get your book and read the nonsense that's in that. Oh, Thursday Murder Club. What a terrible title.
I'm very happy for you to read my book.
Can't wait to.
I'd be very comfortable with that. It's lovely.
You and the 2 million others.
Yeah, 2.5 million. And get ready for some critique because it's going to be flying your way. All right, everybody. We'll see you back in part two. See you in a bit. Bye-bye. So good.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.